Take your Bibles and turn to Romans 14. Romans 14. If you're still marked from the last service, it'll be right there. We were in Romans 13. Now we'll move on to the next chapter, Romans 14. Hey, before we get started, let me mention a couple of things to you about this day. So today there will not be a choir practice for a new song tonight, but if you've been in the choir this week, we'd like to ask you to be up here at the start of the service to be able to lead in the theme chorus, just like you have the other nights, and that will be great. How many of you have been in the sign language class this week? Wonderful. Good. And so Brother Josh will give you directions about what to do so that you can also sign that. And if you were in both choir and sign language, you'll still be able to participate both ways, so he'll let you know, and look forward to seeing the opening chorus signed tonight as well. And then at 7 o'clock this evening, we will have our awards presentation. So make sure that you are on time for that tonight at 7 o'clock. And it will last for just about 15 minutes at the most. And that will be where we'll give out all of our trophies and ribbons and such for the week. We'll also find out who won the West Branch Award. And that takes into consideration not just the sports, but also the music, the cabin cleanup, the special activities, participation, all of those things are factored in, and one church will go home with the trophy of having just the best overall participation and success at camp during the week. That's our West Branch Award, so we'll award that tonight also. And then one other thing, you should have received a little card about what it means to work at West Branch one summer. And if you are a young man, and by next summer you'll be in the age range of 15 to 19, you could potentially come to be a ranch hand. And the ranch hands do a fantastic job. They do primarily things with food service, with the kitchen, but they get to be involved in a lot of other things as well. And then you just get to be in this atmosphere of camp for the whole summer. If you would have interest in possibly knowing more about being a ranch hand or getting an application, just tell me, let me know before you leave camp, and I will put your name down that we can send you a packet in the fall, and you can get that started. We tend to fill up fairly quickly, so if you are interested, I would at least get information about it early so that you can think about it, talk to your parents, and pray about it, consider it for next year. And then the other side of the equation is being a counselor at one point down the road. Maybe you're ready to do that by next year. Campers can come here all the way up to age 19, but sometimes we have counselors that are even younger than that or that age if they have already been to Bible college for two semesters. So if you're curious what it would take, what's required in order to apply or in getting an application or thinking about it for the future, maybe you say, I'll be in Bible college this fall, so I'd be interested in knowing more about it. Be sure to let me know that as well. Romans 14, if you've got it, would you stand with me, please? And we are going to read one verse, Romans 14, verse 5. The Bible says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Would you read that verse out loud with me? That'll help us to really concentrate on what it says. I'll give the reference, and you jump right in out loud with me at the first word. Romans 14, 5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. What do you think of if you hear somebody say, you need to have convictions? Maybe you've never heard anybody say that. To be honest, I don't know that we hear people talk about that as much as maybe I remember other periods of my life. But what does it mean to have convictions? Now, you might say, well, conviction, I heard Dr. Beal speak about conviction last night when the Holy Spirit convicts our heart. And that is true because the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says in John, was sent into this world to reprove, is the word that's there, the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. But the word reprove means to convict or to convince. You see how those two words sound almost the same, and that's because they mean the same thing. To be convicted of something is to be convinced that something is true. So when you're talking about the Holy Spirit convicting an unsaved person, you're talking about how the Holy Spirit convinces someone that they're a sinner, that that is a big problem according to what God's Word says, and that Jesus Christ, as God's Son, made a way to escape that judgment, and that if we will receive for ourselves that personal Savior, Jesus Christ, Him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, to save us from sin, then we can have eternal life. And so the Holy Spirit convinces people when they hear the truth that all of that truth is just that. It is truth, and you become convinced. But the whole matter of conviction does not stop with salvation. And so as we heard last night, sometimes for us as Christians, we are convicted about things also. We sometimes think, well, conviction means I feel bad. Well, it may make us feel bad too, but the reason we feel bad is because we see God as a standard of His Word, and we are not lining up to what God's Word says. And we become convinced that God is right and that we are wrong. That is what conviction is. Now, in a similar but slightly different sense, that is what it means to develop convictions in your life. You develop convictions by seeing what God says, being convinced that what God says is true, and then, here you go, figuring out how to apply that to your life. How do you actually put feet to that? How do you actually do what it is that you see God says is true? I think about a conviction this way. A conviction is a bridge between what God has said and what I do. The truth is what God says. The application, the works, the whatever I do, that's me doing it. But I get from one place to the other because I set in my life, here's what I'm convinced is right. So rather than just facing every day as a series of all new decisions, I can have some decisions made ahead of time. Here is what I will do with this truth. Here is what I will do with this truth. Let me give you an illustration. One of the Ten Commandments in Exodus, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." So the clear Bible truth that is there is that God's name is very seriously holy and separate and should be treated such. So I don't have to be afraid necessarily to say the name God, but I should want to refer to God only in the very best of terms and in the best of ways. And so I see that as a truth, and I think about how am I going to put that into practice in my life. So in my mind, I have a conviction that it would not be right to take the name of God or the name of Jesus and to use it as a curse word the way so many people in the world do. You know what I'm talking about? So somebody will say Jesus, and they're not referring to the Son of God. They're just using it as a flippant, errant, kind of a way to add emphasis to, I really mean this. You know, they're going to plug in the name of Jesus. That's not a way to treat God's name reverently. A lot of people today, just without even thinking about it, by the way, I hear this in churches frequently. Someone will say, oh my, and then they say the name of God. It's become so commonplace, it's even abbreviated with initials, OMG. You see that in texting, or you see it referred to in places all the time. And so in my mind, based on the truth that I see from Exodus 20, I have a conviction that I would not say, oh my, and plug in the name of God, because that's not treating God's name reverently. And I would not even go to the extent of using the initials OMG because I would not want to even refer to the idea of treating God's name in a flippant manner. You understand what I'm saying? So you see what God's truth is from His Word, and then you set a standard in your life, a conviction, what you're convinced is what you should do with the truth so that it helps you know how you ought to live. And this can be done in a great number of things in life. And convictions vary. Some convictions are extremely important. Some convictions are less important. Some convictions are things that seem automatic or obvious to us, but maybe to somebody else, they wouldn't seem so much that way. For instance, I remember many years ago when our son wasn't even born, but our daughter was, we were visiting a church representing the Bill Rice Ranch. That day I was not preaching. I just talked about camp and what that was all about. And the preacher, the pastor, got up to preach the sermon. And in the sermon, he said something that was quite memorable to me. He announced that one of his convictions was that babies should never wear green. And he announced it out as, this is my conviction that babies should never wear green. Now, let me tell you where he was coming from, okay? Have you ever seen a little baby, and you've never met this baby before, and you're like, oh, wow, what a beautiful baby, what a handsome. And you look at the baby, and the hair is really short because a lot of babies are born with short hair, and there's nothing physically distinguishable about that baby to say, is that a boy or is it a girl? And so you're hoping beyond hope that the mom or dad give you a clue, you know, and then they say something like, this baby's name is whatever, and then it's one of those names that doesn't give you a clue. And you just wish there was something like, if it's a girl, slap a big bow on its head or do something so that I know. Okay, well, this pastor was coming at it from the idea that because gender distinction is important, and by the way, gender distinction is a principle of God's word. Amen. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Listen, male and female created he them. There are not 72 genders. There are not 100 genders. You don't get to decide your gender. The whole idea of gender assigned at birth, well, gender assigned at birth is not that the doctor decided at birth. It's that God decided. Amen. And by the way, this is not to be mean or unkind. I understand a lot of people are unclear about this in their minds today. But when we are unclear about something that God settles in the very first chapter of his word, it gives us a lot of confusion that we don't need otherwise. And if you want to have a fulfilled life, the very first thing that you do is look at the very basic principles of Scripture, see what God has said, and apply that to your life. That will be a help to you. Okay, so that was all extra. But just to say that this pastor thought, okay, if gender distinction matters, boy, girl, then if it's a boy and I can't tell just by looking at the baby it's a boy, put the boy in blue. Put the girl in pink. You know, I realize that's just something that mankind has added, but it's fairly well known. Okay, so this is what the pastor was saying, and he said it was his conviction. Now, some people would say, no, Brother Troy, I don't really think that's a conviction. I think that's just his preference. Have you ever heard that? That's just his preference. Okay, well, you're misunderstanding the idea of convictions. A conviction is a bridge between what God says and what I do. Now, Romans 14 that we've read a verse from today is all about what to do if your convictions are not the same as my convictions. And that can happen in certain cases. That's what was going on here. But if you will honestly look at the Bible and decide, here's what I'm going to do and here's how I'm going to act based on what I see God has said, then that's a conviction. So, well, then what's a preference? Okay, green is my favorite color. There is nothing, there is no principle in the Bible that gives you guidance as to what your favorite color should be. None. Zero. There are a lot of colors mentioned in the Bible. You're free to pick any one of them, whichever one you like, that is just fine. Green's my favorite. That's a preference. It has nothing to do with what God has said. It's just God made me with a liking of the color green. Okay, so there is a difference there. So back to this pastor who said this, I remember this happening for two reasons. Number one, because I had never heard that before. Have any of you ever heard that before? Babies should not wear green because it makes them indistinct. Anybody ever heard that besides when I've used it as an illustration? Okay, put your hand up. All right. Here's the other reason I remember it. I told you we had a baby girl with us that day. You want to guess what color dress she was wearing? Green, exactly. So we're leaving the church service that day, shaking hands with the pastor, holding the baby behind her back. You know, now, in all fairness, our little baby girl needed some help on the distinction thing because there wasn't much going on in the hair department, I can tell you that. But the green dress had plenty of frill and ruffle and lace and all of that, so I think that was okay. My point is not whether or not this pastor is right. My point is that I appreciate that he took a look at a Bible principle and he said, here's what I'm going to do with it so that I know how to apply it in my life. Now, would you say that babies wearing green or not wearing green is the most important conviction that you would ever have in your life? No, I would say it's not. Now, I would say that convictions based on gender distinction are becoming more and more important as every day goes by. But that is an aside. Here's the deal. Convictions can vary in their importance. Look down at verse number 9. The Bible says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived. That means he lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Okay, look right this way. This verse declares Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again victorious over sin and death. That is a Bible truth, and I have a conviction that that is absolutely true. I am convinced of that fact. And based on that fact, I have chosen to put my faith in this Jesus Christ to be my Savior because he's the only one who can conquer sin and death for me. Does that make sense to you? Now, let me ask you a question. Is that conviction really important? Yeah, you can't go to heaven without that conviction. You cannot go to heaven without the belief that Jesus died and rose again for your sins so that you could have eternal life. So is that more important than babies wearing green? Yes, it is. By the way, in this passage of Scripture, you know what they were worried about? They were worried about whether or not it was okay to eat a piece of meat after someone had taken that animal to a false god and offered it as a sacrifice to that false god. The meat would then be taken back to the local marketplace and sold. And people worried, maybe I'm not faithful to God if I eat meat that was first offered to a sacrifice. They weren't the ones that offered it, but somebody else had. Now, by the way, in this passage of Scripture, Paul actually gives the answer to that one. And the answer to that one is, it's fine, just eat it. So we don't even have to wonder about that. But at the time, there were some that would say, well, I know that idolatry is wrong. I was saved out of idolatry, so I don't want any connection with that, so I have a conviction that I'm not going to eat that meat. Okay, well, they came to that conviction honestly. Paul said he had learned that what you eat, which kind of meat, that had all been taken care of. It's covered in several places in the New Testament. So it was okay. And there were other things similar to that that they were considering. Now, what is a more important conviction? The fact that it's okay for me to eat meat offered to idols, or the fact that Jesus died and that he rose again and that he's my only way to heaven? Which is more important? It's that second one, is it not? The conviction that Jesus is alive and is the only way to heaven. Okay, listen. Here's the mistake we make. We think that just because some convictions are more important than others, it means that some convictions are not important at all. And that's not true. That is not accurate. As a matter of fact, this passage of Scripture goes to lengths to say that it is every Christian's individual responsibility to develop their own convictions based on God's word. You say, about what? Well, really about everything. About everything. How do you see that? Look down a couple of verses further. Look at verse number 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. All right, look this way. So who are you going to answer to for the convictions that you set? To your friends? To your pastor? Or to God Almighty himself? Well, it's to God Almighty himself. He is the one that we answer to. And so verse 12 says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So I don't have to answer to you necessarily for what I believe or for what I do with what I believe, but I do answer to God. And when I put it in those terms, it makes it important for me to know what is right, to know what God has said, know how to apply it. Now look back at verse number 5, because the last part of that verse is the most important thing I want to stress to you today. It talks about one person will do this, and one person will do that. But then the verse closes with this, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Be fully persuaded in his own mind. And young person, that means that while it is good and it is right, it is appropriate for you to follow the leadership of your parents and for you to follow the leadership of your church, you are going to at some point have to make your convictions, where you personally see what God has said and you personally decide how you are going to put that into practice in your life. Now, having said that, let me say that the best place to start is what you have been taught by your parents and by your church. And so when you see what they have said that the Bible says, that is where you ought to go. You ought not assume, well, I've got to develop my own convictions, so that means I'm going to be completely different than my parents. You know, a lot of the things I believe today and I practice today are things that my parents believed and practiced. And in some cases, there are things that are a little bit different than how they handled things. But I have come to the place that I have come, I believe, because I've looked at the Scripture, seen what God said, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what I believe is right. So every Christian should be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, the word mind means understanding. It actually is a compound Greek word that literally means think through. And that means that every person here needs to think through what God has said. Now, hold your place here in Romans 14, and I want to ask you to turn to one other book, and that is the book of Ephesians 4. It's just a few pages to the right. Ephesians 4. You say, why is it so important for me to think through what God has said? Here's why. Because you have the ability as a Christian young person to think through things in a way that the unsaved world does not. Look at Ephesians 4:18. Ephesians 4:18, talking about the world, says, having the understanding. Now stop there. That is the exact same word that is translated mind in Romans 14. Having the ability to think through, darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So the unsaved world, they try to think through things, but when they do, it's just cloudy, it's just blackened, it's just darkened. They cannot see because God hasn't given them the ability to see like he's given you as a Christian young person the ability to see. There are a lot of you in this room today, you have no problem understanding that God made every person in this world either a male or a female. Why doesn't that make sense to the unsaved world? Because they don't have the same way to think through it like you do. Now, in Ephesians 4:18, it talks about the world's think through, but look at Ephesians 1:18. What is your ability to think through like? The Bible says in Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding, same word, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of his saints. All right, so here's the deal. Your ability to think through things is enlightened. You could be a 14-year-old girl camper at West Branch Youth Camp and have more ability to look at what God said and understand it than some brilliant professor at an Ivy League college. Because that person may not understand what you understand because you are saved. So God has given you that ability, and with it, God gives you a responsibility to think through and develop your convictions. So you have your understanding enlightened. Now it's time to put that to use. Okay, so back to Romans 14:5. The Bible says, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Okay, so if you're going to think through things and be fully persuaded, understand that the word fully persuaded means to be completely covered over. It means to be completely wrapped up. Now, I want to take a poll. You guys have been terrible at polls all week long. So I am hoping that you can bail me out on my last effort to take a poll, okay? It's going to involve actually lifting your hand. I believe in you. I think you can do it. All right, how many of you have skin? Good job. All right, there's more. Put your hand down. How many of you like having skin? Okay, now you don't have to raise your hand for this one, but I want you to think through it. How much of your skin do you like to have? How much?
A lot.
Yes. Let's be more specific.
All of it.
All of it. Yes. Okay. I don't know how you are, but I notice when I'm missing some. Are you like that? You're like, man, what happened? You know? It's like Maurice every time we play basketball. His skin goes missing right there on his hand. He starts bleeding all over the place. We notice when we are missing skin. Why? Because we expect skin to completely wrap us up. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Now, here's the deal, young person. You are supposed to be completely wrapped up and covered up by Bible truth in a way so that you know what to do with it. That means you need to live by convictions. That means you need to live with a bridge between what God has said and what you do. You look at what God has said, and you say, I see what God has said, and therefore I am going to settle it right now what I am going to do. And so you can read a verse like you find in Colossians 3 where the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it goes on to say. And you see that from that verse and many other verses, that music is a wonderful thing that God has given to us to promote our relationship and our fellowship with God. And when you take something like music that God has made to be helpful to your spiritual life, and you put words to it, and you make it formed in such a way that it drives your flesh instead of lifting your spirit, whether you call that rock music or country music or rap music or whatever you call it, and you recognize that's not going to bring me closer to God. And so I see what God has said in principle, and I have a conviction, therefore, that I'm not going to listen to this music that's going to draw me away from God, but I'm going to listen to music that's going to draw me closer to God. And you begin to set convictions like that in your life. You say, but if I'm going to set a conviction like that, that means I've got to listen to music I don't even like. Can I give you a little free help on this? The reason you don't like it is because you're not listening to it. But if you will recognize that there is music, like some of the music you've heard this week, that does bring you closer to the Lord and remind you of truth. You know, it is a wonderful thing to have stuck in your head. You ever have that happen, a song stuck in your head? But a song stuck in your head that's reminding you that God is faithful? That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. When you have truths like that that are just on your mind all the time because you are exposing yourself to that, that is going to help you. So if you will set a conviction about the kind of music that you will listen to, that will help you do what God said you ought to do. Does that make sense? And so you can look at this or any of these other things that I've mentioned as illustrations, or 1,000 and more other things, and you can set convictions in your life. Now, I want to just show you 4 things. I'm going to give you these very quickly this morning to help you know how you can wrap yourself up in convictions. Number 1, make sure you are convinced by the right source. Don't go to your friends, don't go to the world, don't go anywhere else, but make sure you go to the Word of God. In verse 14, Paul said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Remember I told you? He told the people, it's okay to eat the meat. There's nothing wrong with it. It is perfectly acceptable. How did he know that? Jesus told him. Now, Paul had a unique experience. Paul actually had some one-on-one training by the Lord Jesus Christ out in the wilderness. We don't know a lot about it, but apparently that's what happened. I don't have that, but I've got the completed Word of God, so I have everything that I need. And if I will get in it and see what God has said, it can help me convince, be convinced of what is right and how I should live. So number one, be convinced by the right source. Be persuaded by the right source. Number two, put everything to the test. Verse number 22 says, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth." Now, it's important to understand what that word alloweth means. It means to put to the test and therefore allow. In other words, don't read the verse to say, "Hey, just let yourself do whatever you want to do and then you'll really be happy." It's not what God's saying. What God is saying is if you will actually take the different aspects of your life and match them up to what the Bible says, then that will bring the happiness for your life. So put everything to the test. Some things are more important than others, but there is nothing that is not important. Here's the way I look at it. I just want to please God. And if I'm going to please God and grow in that, then I need to know more and more about what pleases God, and I need his help to know how to apply it. So put everything to the test. Number three, act on what you decide. Act on what you can, what you decide. It's not going to help you out if you figure out, "Here's my conviction," and then you don't actually do it. Is that going to help you? No. Once you know what God has said and you are convinced about what God has said, you have a responsibility to do what God has said. And so in verse 23, the Bible says, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." So here's the deal. One guy says it's okay to eat the meat. Another guy said it's not okay to eat the meat. This guy is convinced it's all right to eat the meat based on what God has said. This guy, maybe looking at something else God has said, says, "Well, I know idolatry is wrong, so I better not eat the meat." Now, Paul clears up this question, but if you take this guy right where he is for a second, if he is so concerned about that idolatry and not associating with that, and that is the conviction that he has, he would be absolutely wrong to eat the meat. And by the way, you'd be absolutely wrong to make him eat the meat against his will. So don't do that either. That's what Romans 14 is talking about, how to get along in these situations. So the deal is, look, you need to put things to the test, and then when you figure out and you know what God has said, then do it. Hey, can I encourage you about something? Bible preaching, like you've heard this week, and like you can hear back at your church that you came with this week, will help you learn more about what God has said and will help you know how to put more things to the test. There are things right now that you are more sensitive to from God's word than you were back on Monday when you got here. Take advantage of that. God's been working in your heart. This is a great time to be establishing convictions about what is right and wrong and about what you will do. And then I would say one more thing, and that is this. Don't be burdened by what God intended to be a blessing. Sometimes people will say, "I don't want to live by convictions. That's just a big old list of what's right and what's wrong, and I have to do all these things." Look. I am not saying that if you will make a list of 25 things you believe are really important in the Bible and do them every single day, then God will automatically be pleased with you. Our Christian life is not just a list. I get that. But God is a holy God, and there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. So it is no burden to be completely wrapped up in what God finds to be pleasing. Remember the illustration of the skin? I don't know. You probably don't think this way, but a lot of times people are looking for a great way to lose weight. You know, like our gentleman in the skit last night had that great weight loss plan. Worked pretty good for him. Well, I've got another guaranteed weight loss program. Absolutely guaranteed, I can help you lose 8 pounds today. Again, this never fails. It will work. I guarantee it will work. If you will follow my weight loss program, I guarantee you can lose 8 pounds today. Here's my weight loss program. Get rid of all your skin. Scientists say, doctors say, that our skin on average weighs 8 pounds. That's 8 pounds of your body mass. If you'll just get rid of all of your skin, then you don't have to be burdened by that extra weight. You can just go around, kind of flopping around, moving around from spot to spot. You probably lose more weight because more organs will just fall out. It'll save you from all that gallbladder problem like Brother Glenn had. You'll just lose it all at once. It'll be great. Okay, anybody want to follow my weight loss program? Besides you guys right up here. Okay, here's the deal. You're willing to carry those 8 pounds. They're not a burden to you. And neither is doing what pleases God. It's not a burden. It is what makes you, according to verse 22, happy. Happy. If you know what God said and you know what to do with it, you know how to set convictions in your life, and then you actually do it, you'll be happy. God will give you that joy. So my question for you, simply put, is this: do you have convictions? Now, I imagine you have a few, whether you've thought about it or not. But I wonder if you've really thought about it before. Do you have convictions? And if anything, I would say this. I think your first conviction today ought to be that you should have convictions. And if you would be convinced by Romans 14 that it is important to create bridges to help you know how to get from what God said to what you will do, then that would be a great start. Let's bow our heads for prayer.